Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Don't say shit or bugger. We are live on the YouTubes. I think we should just get a cracking with an intro, and we'll take it from there, lads.
Hi, this is Don Matteo, and you are listening to the Auto Know Better podcast. Let's do this.
You look like fucking Brolin, you're a Leeds hating bastard.
Like some sort of fucking weird floating head. No.
It's a utensil player a bit, innit?
I mean, I feel a bit right, dickhead.
Nothing spectacular, really.
Hello and good evening, all you wonderful people. This is the Ought to Know Better podcast. Season 4, episode 34, as it happens. We are live. Stop saying shit or bugger. We'll be nice to each other in the comments. I'm joined by Jay Carter this evening. How are you? Looking very well combed.
I'm all right, mate. I wouldn't say that much. I've been out under a car. It's just as it is, mate.
Is that what it is? I thought you had makeup on you. I thought you were auditioning for Kiss or something like that.
Is it snowing outside? You got a bit of snow on the old beard there, James.
It's brake dust.
Yeah, well, yeah. White brake dust. Dandruff. Anyway, we are joined also by Luke, which is the reason why we're late tonight, because he's been combing his hair as well.
Yeah.
How are we doing, mate? You right?
Yeah, phantasmagorical, to be honest with you. I'm
my better ass kicking off with the children, just as we go live, lovely stuff.
Get to fucking bed!
At least you booted Tap Dancer out.
Yeah, a little, my tap dancers are out of way now. Hello everyone, welcome along, get your comments into us this evening. I can see quite a few people, you know, Gilly's in there as well, look. We'll do a bit of interacting with you this evening on all the way. We don't have any prediction stuff because we all thought we were going to batter Coventry and Sunderland, and none of us did. None of us got any points because none of us predicted a draw or a loss. So we can skip straight past that. No Berardi and Coke either, because we thought we might as well do it today. Hold on, Christ. I'm having a fate with my mic here. So we might as well do a bit of a Berardi and Coke tonight, lads, and we'll cover the for the Sunderland game. How did you feel we got on, James?
Shit.
Nice. Straight in. Say what you really mean.
It was just frustrating, mate. It was just frustrating. Like, it felt like a big game after the previous result, and I just feel like we didn't really turn up, and that's the worst part. The referee was shocking, but you should have enough about you to be beating teams like Sunderland at this stage in season, even with a shit ref. But, you know, some of the stuff that he let go, including stuff we'll talk about at some point.
Was just better time than now, Jay.
Well, yeah, fair enough. I mean,
get it off your chest, get it off your little
chest. We had the elbow. But we also had the hand of God, didn't we?
Yeah.
And the guy even went like this after.
Went like what?
What, like how? What, like an owl sort of thing? I didn't see that bit.
Yeah, he shook his hand after.
For the first time in a very, very long time, well, at least till last season, I got up on the back of my chair and started going absolute fucking mental. I'm surprised no one saw me, because it's not like you can't see me. 6'4" bloke up back of his chair.
I went
south stand. I went, hey, fucking corrupt bastards. Yeah, we won't see exactly what I said.
You won't see me, though. People just think there's a Tasmanian devil next to him.
Yeah, well, they won't see you, even if you were still on back of your seat, will they?
That's what I mean, mate. I couldn't believe it. Do you know what I mean?
It would just be Peter Crouch's shoulders to be seen.
Like Master Blaster in Mad Max 3. Yeah, it were unbelievable. It would just, it was stood right near it. Like, what's wrong with these referees? Like, are they corrupt or are they just really fucking shit? Because either way, it don't work. This league is awful.
Would you on that note then? Look, they missed two clear penalty shouts.
Yeah.
But I would rather they miss those, and I know this is going to sound counterproductive because of what's happened to us this week. We could have won that game and we could have been now sitting top of the league. But I would rather that happen and balance out over a season. Look, we handballed one in with Paddy the other week and we got away with that. Do you know what I mean? So you'd rather things like that happen, wouldn't you, than have to watch VAR and wait in the stadium. And I think VAR would have been kind to us this year because we're one of the, you know, one of the big guns, shall we say, a big fish in the pond. And I think it probably would be kind.
Screwed a lot.
And I think that probably reflects on every league. The bigger tides tend to get rubber the green. But I still would rather have no VAR. Like, I would. And I remember some data was brought out at some stage in the Premier League that saying how many points we would have been without VAR and everything. And we would have been far better off without VAR at that stage. I can't remember exactly. It might have been LUFC data or one of them data people. But
15 points. I want to say it were about 15 points.
It was a lot more. Off. Yeah, it was a lot more than I expected. But the whole stopping and starting, just it's not enjoyable, is it? Like, it's not what you pay to go to watch a football. It's taken away. It's not becoming a spectator sport. It's becoming,
you know what,
a sport for people to watch on telly.
It is, yeah, absolutely. But do you know what? If VAR was better implemented, then I would have it. But like, as someone says in the comments, they still get it wrong anyway. And
yeah,
as we saw in the Premier League, like when Harry Kane bundled Melier into the net, or somebody didn't, Kane scored, didn't they? And it didn't even get looked at. And
Højbjerg bundled.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And it goes from one extreme in the Championship where you want stuff to be looked at to a thing in the Premier League where the refs barely do the job anymore because they expect that safety net to pick it up if something is wrong or something does need deciding. And there has to be somewhere in the middle where people are looking at it and getting it right.
It just shows a massive contrast between, you know, you're relying on dipsticks with flags and, you know, on a whistle in our pie and pea league. And then in the Premier League, you've got some dipstick with a pie and a whistle, with a flag and a whistle and a couple of TV screens with some odd dickheads up in a room in the middle of nowhere. You know,
I think they're all getting hammered, mate, people at Stockley Park. I think they're just on it during matches.
Well, they've just announced
the way they can explain some of the decisions.
They're introducing semi-automated offside stuff next year, aren't they?
Have you seen how that works? It's actually quite good. Like, it is.
Well, they've been using it in Europe, haven't they?
Yeah. So,
or was it not? Was it the World Cup or Euros?
Is it an AI thing?
It's pretty much, it takes it away from anybody. So it's just computer generated, and it's all if it's offside, it's offside. But again, that doesn't always work. Look at Villa when they stayed up that season when goal line technology had failed. Do you know what I mean? So,
well, someone forgot to turn it on, didn't they?
Yeah,
that's
so
a massive, massive error, that one.
I think
offside for me should still be just where your feet are.
I think the more we lean towards, I think people want fair results, right? But I think it has to start with better training and better referees. I think that ultimately has to be the ballpark and the benchmark for everybody, for every league and everything, and it should filter down. I don't see, there's no reason why a referee should be getting, I mean, he could see the first one. It was directly in line. The second one, a little bit tougher because he had Joey Rodon's head in there and it was a little bit tougher to see from a ref's angle. He should have still seen it. Or the line's
Where's the lino in that situation?
Exactly. But I think the more we lean to actually using technology to make these decisions for us, where does it stop? Like, do you know what I mean? Because it's going to be for offsides and goals and everything else. And then what? Did they have too many? Did the player run off the field at the? They've got to go off the field at the nearest touchline.
Yeah.
We then start looking using VAR for that and stuff. It all very much leads to me to a game that's not enjoyable to watch for a spectator.
You don't want football to be too clinical, do you? It's meant to be about passion and people, you know, human competition. People make mistakes sometimes. Mm. Sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't. I'm all right with that.
Turned into a fucking bar, but
I know. But we seem to be getting hammered a lot with bad decisions, and that's putting me on the fence.
Without going too much into this anymore, because I'm bored of the whole VAR conversation. But if we get promoted, it's bound to crop up again next year. The only thing I will say, I mean, it's too open to interpretation at the minute. If they do bring in this semi-automated stuff, it completely takes that element away from it. The only thing that now that we'd rely on is people actually doing the jobs on the field, i.e. the referees and the side people, the linesmen. Or lines people. Are you allowed to call them linesmen anymore? Are you allowed to call them linesmen anymore?
I went to watch my daughter play football a week or two ago, and I went, man on, shit, girl on, woman on. I honestly didn't know what.
There's a human being closing in your personal space.
Apparently you're still allowed to say man on because the female coach of the team that they were playing against said, no, it's still cool to say man on. Wonder how long that's going to last.
Yeah, probably not long. But fuck VAR. We just want better refs because they're just shit. And the amount of decisions. The whole handball thing, the first handball where they kind of like lent into it, you think... Bamford did worse. I can get over that. That's not an outrageous handball. Yeah, he's nudged it. He's got away with it. Whatever. I'm not going to lose my marbles over it. However, the second one was just an absolutely disgraceful. Just disgraceful. The fact that Rodon were having his shirt pulled. He's been slapped in the face. The actual, when it happened, I don't know if you heard it, Jay, from where you were standing, but when it came over, you could hear the slap. Of the ball to his hand. I actually audibly heard that. I mean, I'm not saying that the atmosphere is absolutely rocking, but it wasn't quiet. But I could actually hear the audible slap of the ball hitting his hand. And I'm just like, you could even hear it. And he stood literally 10 yards away. He's looking right at it. And that shivering shithouse linesman that were on the Sunderland side, you could tell he were nervous. He looked edgy as fuck. He looked like he were doing nervous shits all game. Honestly, he did not enjoy himself where he was.
I say bring this ref to the league.
Absolutely. Yeah, why not? Why not?
Why not?
Works for me. Do you know what I don't get, though? Like, if refs do shit in the Premier League, they get sent to our league the weekend after. Like, why why does a ref get inflicted?
In the championship.
Yeah.
And the championship will suffer for having you.
Why does a ref get inflicted on someone else when they shit? Why don't they have to sit out a week and not get paid that week? Do you know what I mean? You don't get to ref this
week. Like, it's a punishment. Going to championship's a punishment.
They're open about who they support. We've got a Sheffield Wednesday fan refereeing us at the weekend.
Yeah.
And they're quite open and obvious about that. Like that shouldn't be happening. Like, do you know what
I mean?
It
doesn't sit right, does it?
No.
To be fair, though, there's no ref anywhere that would like us. So he probably wouldn't really make any difference for us. Everyone hates
us. It's one of the massive issues you've got when you've got that many people that don't like you. I think we've swayed a little bit. Luke, give me your thoughts over the game, please. Highs, lows, what's your overall thoughts?
Do you know what? I'm going to sort of contradict everything I've probably said over the last few days, but I actually don't think we played too badly. I just think we were missing that creative spark. We controlled, I would say, probably for 85 minutes. I don't think they really ever looked like scoring. Melier made a couple of good saves from Jack Clark when he sent Rodon for a hot dog. Other than that, they didn't look really threatening. They were quite happy to sit with five and four behind the ball and leave one up top, weren't they? They were quite happy to defend, that's how they were set up. And I think for us, it's quite frustrating when we play against teams like that. And it almost took me back to when we struggled against teams like that toward the end of the first half of the season around Christmas time, when we couldn't break teams down like that and we didn't seem to have a plan B. And then we threw Rutter in there and that was our plan B, play Rutter in the 10 and all of a sudden play Baddie up front and we've got loads of extra movement. Now, what teams have learned to do is just put two defenders, because they played five at the back, put two defenders on Cree, two defenders on Rutter. We've got no creativity. It just goes. And the fact that we don't ever switch the ball, teams know that. So we've got Dan James and Archie Gray in a fucking fuckload of space on the right-hand side. But
yeah.
But actually, teams know that we're not going to ever switch the ball out to him. So we can just they can happily mark Rutter and Cree and overload those two players. Now that negates us. Now I think there's a few things that to take out of that game. I think first of all, Rutter was really, really poor. By his standards, and I think he has been since he's had his operation. I don't know if we could give him his hernia back or what, but he was much better when he was playing with an hernia. And I don't think that's his fault.
Bring it back.
Yeah, bring back the hernia. But I don't think that's his fault. I think he's been asked to take a lot of responsibility starting in that 10 role, somewhere he's never played before in a promotion battle, and learn on the job pretty much. And he hasn't got a mentor. He's got nobody. We've got no natural 10 to teach him what he should be doing. We're relying on Daniel Farker and his coaching team giving him the right instructions. Now, only he can release a ball sooner to the right-hand side or whichever side. Only he can stop taking five touches before he wants to make a pass. Mm. But ultimately, the thing that frustrates me more about him is his defensive work rate, and he doesn't just he lets Paddy do all the running, and that it just creates such an easy out ball for anybody we play against. They just bypass Rutter and Bamford so easily, because if they've got five at the back, Paddy presses one, they've got three or four other players to play around. Rutter doesn't press, he stays stagnant, and they play it around him, and it's just frustrating. But look, I don't really want to single him out, because I don't think anybody was great. And anybody sort of pulled the socks up and gave us something that we needed. But one thing I would say is that although I've been very defendant of Daniel Farker and his decisions all season, we do need to start seeing some changes a little bit sooner in games like that.
I'll tell you what, mate, it's like you've read 100%. Everything that I've written down on this sheet of paper. Honestly, it's strange, because you've literally said everything. I was literally just about to say the last thing about Daniel Farker leaving his way, and I've got way in capital letters here on my sheet. Too late. So, before you get into the substitutions then, were you happy with the starting 11?
Sorry?
Before we get into the subs, were you happy? Would you have changed anything to the starting 11 before we'd have gone into the game?
No, I think that would have been my starting 11. I mean, people, it's very easy in hindsight to say, no, it wouldn't have been my starting 11. We should have started Matteo Joseph. We should have started Willie Nonto. But we don't see these players week in, week out in training. We have seen how good Paddy can be, and he's probably not been to the standard. But the things that he does really, really well. You know, he invited Ballard 09 into early fouls. They got yellow cards. Who should have been sent off. So yeah. I don't think I would have changed anything. I think probably tactically more than personnel wise would have been my major change.
Mm. I would thoughts have made about Kamara. What are your thoughts on Kamara, Jay?
He seemed just as crap as everyone else against Sunderland. I don't think he particularly stood out as bad compared to everyone else. I don't think anyone played that well. I think recently he has looked tired, but yeah, I don't think it were a significant, you know, starting him in that game. I don't think it were a major sort of factor in what happened. I would have made a couple of changes myself, and I would have found room for Roberts and Nonto, and that would have probably meant that Kamara didn't start for me, but I don't think like you could throw the blame on him for that performance.
No, I don't think so. It's just, it seems, I mean, I've said it a few times, and I know others have as well, that whenever we seem to be getting or losing the fight in the middle of the park, Kamara goes kind of missing. Or, you know, if he does have any kind of involvement, if we haven't passed the ball around the back, you know, four defenders and Melier for the last 5 minutes, then we might make a pass into Kamara, who might do a shimmy, shimmy to the left, a shimmy to the right, and then pass it backwards. And then Nampadu may do a glory ball that will go to absolutely no one, and hey presto, we're being countered. It was frustrating last night to watch.
The thing, well, two last nights night. Ago, but yeah. The passing back all the time, the patient possession build-up thing, is killing the atmosphere in the ground. It is killing the atmosphere. Every time the ball goes back to Melier now, there's an audible groan. And it's just a bit too much for me. I mean, you know, Farker clearly has done a great job, so I'm not going to criticise him too much and start trying to make out he doesn't know what he's doing, because he does. But there are little things like that that piss me off. And the defenders must touch the ball more than anyone else on the field. And it drives me mad sometimes. When we, like, even in stoppage time, we're going backwards. When it should just be forward, forward, forward. And it's just too much for me. It's the wrong side of that balance.
I completely agree, but I think we were spoiled by our previous great manager.
Definitely.
I mean, we could say his name, but I know there's always going to be comparisons made, and we always say we shouldn't make comparisons. But I was watching that build-up, actually, the build-up to Dallas's goal at Stoke, and the only difference was that they took a chance with some passes, whereas Farker, we're far more organised, we're far more condensed and that, but we just don't seem to take as many chances with passes. And you look at, there's two or three passes in that build up that actually should probably never have been made realistically, unless you're going to take a real chance. You know, nowadays you probably wouldn't see those chances being made. But it's completely the game's evolved even over the last 3, 4, 5 years. It's very much possession based. Like, teams
would rather not.
It's mine. I'm going to fucking clip him in a minute.
I think for myself, I mean, as frustrating as it was, I don't think we played that bad. The battle of the midfield was completely and totally lost, I might say. But, you know, Sunderland are playing with a little bit of freedom now because they know that they're obviously not going to get relegated because they're far too far away from it. And they're not going to get promoted. There's a cluster of four teams in the middle of the league now that are just like, it's like us when we were in the Premier League first season. You know, we played with that little bit of freedom because we knew we weren't getting relegated, so we could just go out and enjoy ourselves. The frustrating thing for me was that the fact that they decided to park the bus and play so reservedly. You know, we're like, well, you've got nothing to lose. Why aren't you trying to play football? You know, you've got your fancy man, Jack Clark, out on the wing, who's trying to nutmeg everyone. We thought Roberts and Archie Gray did really, really well against. Obviously, like Luke said, he sent Rodon for a bit of an hot dog. But apart from that, I thought, you know, we kept him pretty much at bay. But I just don't, is it the team that, you know, we've done so well and been so consistent up to, you know, 3 or 4 games ago. And now is the pressure getting to him a little bit? You know, we've all, you know, berated Leicester and Ipswich and Southampton for buckling under the pressure. But now the pressure is equally on our shoulders. Are they too scared to take the risks? Yeah. Are they feeling the pressure? They must be to a degree because it seems like they're shit scared to make any mistakes, which is why we're playing so.
Some of the risky passes they made out from the back was Rodon and Ampadu, and they were misplaced. They were shite. They tried it three or four times.
It's like a desperate pass because we've kept the ball for so long. It's like I can literally feel the soul leaving my lifeless corpse. I'll be honest with you. Quite a few times this season, and Coventry for definitely not. Bearing in mind I was at an event on Friday and I was absolutely, utterly gazeboed and very hungover on Saturday morning. I fell asleep in second half and I actually missed Pirro's goal because I was just watching him, just flicking it around back in and just... And I fell asleep. Watched the whole of the Ipswich game beforehand and fell asleep during hours because it's so frigging boring and so passive. And like you said, you know, we're always going to compare stuff to Bielsa's team because for most of us, it's the best football that we've ever seen. So there's always going to be a comparison there. I don't really want to edge too much, but it were at the edge of the seat stuff, you know, and it was scripted, it was this, it was that, but it were exciting and we used to love it. Whereas this is all very calm, it's very collected, it's very, you know, controlled and stuff. And it's all like, yeah, we're getting results, but fucking hell. I love watching Ampadu and Rodon do 5,000 fucking passes each and get highest fucking passing, you know, statistics in league and all that sort of stuff. But I'd love to see my number 9 striker fucking firing a few balls into back in there. That'd just be lovely. You know, and just
for me,
given that we've got 4 games left now, we really do need to pull us fucking.
Yeah, we need to take the ball and chain, as somebody said there. We need to release our creative players and let them do what they're good at. You're Willie Nonto, your Rutter. So stop me. We might suffer defensively because of it. We might suffer defensively, but ultimately we're far more dominant man for man than the majority of this league. So
let the defenders
defend. Let the attackers attack. Do you know what I mean? But let them have that little bit of creative freedom, that little bit of spark. Right, just go do something for 10, 15 minutes. Don't run down the left, turn back and pass it back to the left back. So who's going to pass it to Ampadu? Who's going to pass it to Rodon? Who's going to pass it to Archie Gray? Who's going to pass it into one of the midfielders? Who's going to then pass it back to Rodon? Do you know what I mean? It's all too scripted, I suppose, is probably the best way.
It is scripted, but in a negative way, though. Because, like, you look at the scriptive nature of the Bielsa's team. you know, there were passages of play that it was quick passing. We can do three or four passes and not get to edge of our fucking 18-yard box, but we can lose the ball three or four passes later. Sunderland are at the edge of ours. You know, and that's a massive difference. You know, the bust in the guts to try and get forward and to
pressure
us.
Real difference in those two, though. I don't think this team is half as fit as what Bielsa's team was.
No.
I don't think any team is.
But then again, you know, like Jay just said, you know, there aren't many teams that are.
No. Do you know what I did notice as well, though? Like, we never set Dan James free, really. Like, it was ready to go so many times.
So frustrating, isn't it?
And we never pinged the ball over for him. And I
to be fair, when they did, it was shit.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like,
didn't get many chances, though, did they?
People knock Calvin Phillips and say, oh, no, we'd never have him back in this, that, and the other. You know, back in the old days, you know, a few seasons ago now, but your Ben Whites and your Calvin Phillips would pick a ball at the edge of our box and look to see Dan James in a meadow of fucking space. And Archie Gray as well. They were both sat there. They might as well have had the frigging picnic blankets out and supping fucking cups of tea because they were absolutely in acres of space doing nothing. It would have been one quick ball and Dan James with fucking 30 yards of space on nearest defender is gone.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Sunderland have gone, oh shit, Dan James, fastest fucking thing on two legs, is running down bloody right wing. And we've got no one covering him. We don't seem to
fastest
spread
thing
teams.
On two legs other than a cheetah who needs the toilet.
Right.
And it might even have taken...
especially. They're just holding it. He's holding it in good.
Could plug the tail up, though, couldn't they? Could use a tail as a plug.
It might even have taken Jack Clark out of the game a bit, because they might have had to put him on him to try and chase him.
Exactly, but you're not getting anywhere near Dan James, are you? Even with ball at his feet, he's left you for fucking, you know, gone. Little roadrunner. But yeah, it's just frustrating because, like, you know, I've seen a few people comment so in the comments as well. You know, the amount of space that they were seeing and not
utilising. Who's got 50 pence in Gilly tonight?
I think he wants to be. Why don't you just come on, Gilly?
You bastard.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Liam Cooper would have probably swung and missed at the frigging thing or passed it to one of their players.
I'm not having any. I'm not having any.
No, we're not. We're not having any Cooper.
We'll leave that alone. He's not done all wrong.
He's a top captain and a bloody lovely lad. Is Liam? We've always said so. Even if we don't rate him that highly as a footballer anymore. But yeah, he's still a fucking top bloke. So yeah, Brady and Cook. Then that's pretty much wrapped that up, hasn't it? Have you got anything else really to say on the game, boys? We've kind of generalised a little bit.
Not a right lot. I think we've gone into it, haven't we? We talked about the subs, didn't we? Being too late, and
I think we've been a bit harsh on ourselves as well. They've got four clean sheets in five. You know they're set up to not lose, and they seem to do it well. So I think if we've been overcritical. We dominated the majority of the game, and on another day we'd have had two penalties, and they'd have had a red card, and it could have been a completely different result. We shouldn't be reliant on those sorts of things happening in games, but ultimately that was the difference.
Mm-hmm. Would you lads say in hindsight the Watford result doesn't look so bad now, seeing that they've gone and also held Ipswich to a point? They seem to have turned the corner, don't they?
Yeah.
I just think it's fantastic that all three teams are trying to do their best to take this right to the friggin' end of the season.
That was the first time since Boxing Day that all three teams haven't won in the league. Leicester and Ipswich played each other, mind, but I wonder what odds you'd have got on all three not scoring in this midweek. As well, by the way,
it's absolutely mad, isn't it? It is
probably about 120-1 or something daft.
Oh, I'd bet with you, Jay Carter. Bet Jay.
Yeah, right.
So close at top now, isn't it? Ridiculous. I mean, obviously Leicester have got Southampton to play, but Leicester are kind of they're not doing too well, are they? They're stalling a little bit.
And then they've got this news coming over them today as well about Maresca kicking off about fixtures and having to travel down to Plymouth. Yeah, everyone has had to travel down to Plymouth, Maresca. Everybody has had to go down there. I can't remember exactly what he said, but he's complaining about the congestion. And
we had to go to Plymouth, come back, go to Swansea. Come back.
Then
didn't
Plymouth
we go to
again.
Bristol then.
Then Plymouth
we
go, again.
Yeah, then we had an home game and then we had Plymouth away.
Yeah. So we couldn't even stay down there because we had to come back. He's just that guy, right, is a fraud. He's got no experience of picking a team up that's in bad form because he's not done out yet. It's all fucking great when you come to a team and it's all going awesome and everything's working. We've seen how that goes for people like even Steven Gerrard with Rangers. You know, sometimes you can get someone who's, you know, they know enough to get by, but they end up in a situation that just works. And then when it falls apart, they can't bring it back because they don't have the experience to do so.
This is
that's
the tweet.
That's a danger for them.
This is Rob Tanner, I'm guessing. Rob Tanner, LCFC, I'm guessing there's some sort of report for Leicester. Enzo Maresco has had his say about the scheduling, and he's not happy, man, as Leicester City faced a long trip to Plymouth. This is the reply of the year. Yes, everyone in the Championship has to make the long trip to Plymouth, unfortunately, because they're in the league.
Yes,
exactly.
And water is, in fact, wet, by the way.
Exactly. Yeah. What would he be saying if he were managing Sunderland and he had to go to Plymouth? Would he be getting even more upset?
Exactly.
They do some travelling, don't they?
That's a day and a half out.
So do Plymouth, I suppose, but the opposite way around. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Plymouth are not near anyone. All their games are miles away.
You've got a couple of hours.
It's not a huge
game
for them, though, tomorrow night. It's not. It's just another game.
Just another one.
We've got all these graphics in the friggin' in the brand and stuff. Like obviously, we've spoken about the written complaints that we've had 6 letters this season so far. Apologising, saying it was a penalty or a red card. We'll probably get 2 more letters now. It won't help us because it doesn't feel like a fair outcome. You know, we can do all this to death. Did you see the West Bromwich Albion handball? By the way,
last night? God, yeah. Yeah.
Penalty, in fact.
I don't know if you can see. Obviously, the guy in the middle is being struck by the ball way about, what would you say, yard and a half, 2 yards out.
He's
of the
on the edge of the
gate,
isn't he?
Yeah,
I'd say he's like 2 yards away there.
1-2 yards at least outside the box, you know, and they got awarded a penalty for that. And that's been blasted straight at his face. You could forgive
it's
him
unbelievable.
To not give a frigging, even in a free kick, but they got a penalty. I mean, fucking hell. And then, obviously, you flick it round to us and, you know, Superman he is, but punching Rodon and the ball, and we get fuck all.
It's unreal.
Honestly. It's a
it's
right
absolutely
lad.
Unreal.
It's just ace. It's just ace,
I can't
isn't
speak.
It?
It's killing me.
I can't speak. Atmosphere, then. We'll talk about the atmosphere a little bit briefly before we move on. What did you think the atmosphere were like at the ground? Has it improved?
No. I obviously watched it on telly because I'm a and
yeah, Sky TV
it sounded better. It did. I mean, I'll be honest, it sounded better than recent games when I've been up there in parts. But again, that there's just a sense of nervousness around the place, and I think Jay's right that you know the patient build up. It's not what we're used to or what we expect. Even under Jesse Marsh, it wasn't patient. You know, it was a bit fucking bonkers and crazy. So we haven't been used to it. We had Gratia and Allardyce who basically just did anything, so we didn't really care what happened then. But actually, under the previous two managers before them, it was all very chaotic and fast paced and high energy, and we're not used to it. I don't think. I think we've been. I mean, I'm not going to say Jesse Marsh spoiled us, but we've certainly had some a certain style of football or certain energy that's parallel with the football that we play. And we're not used to that patient build-up. So I think as fans, we need to maybe accept that that's the way he plays. And I know it's probably coming at the wrong stage of the season for us to start to accept that when we've only 4 games left. But yeah, I just think that's something we do need to get used to. It's frustrating as fuck, but I think Farke has always said he would love to have 100% possession every game because, you know, they can't score without the ball. And ultimately, we can't score with the ball, so it doesn't really matter.
Oh, we seem to be struggling a little bit of late. But yeah, I think Saturday will be different. You know, there were always an air of expectancy against Sunderland. I mean, a lot of people thought we'd batter them. I were a little bit. I think I predicted 1-0. I think I didn't think it'd be that much of a nice scoring game. But Blackburn needs to be different. It absolutely needs to be different, and they need to be. They need to be spurred on. Speaking of being spurred on, there was a certain person having a little bit of a speech at Thorpe Arch this week. It's been broken to us, obviously, chaps, that our good friend and some might say club legend, Mr. Stuart Dallas, is leaving us at the leaving football entirely at the end of the season. What do you think to that? Firstly, gutted.
Yeah, I'm absolutely wounded, mate. He's been arguably my favourite player over the last 10 or so years. I think we've had better players and more exciting players in Raf, but I think just in terms of his persona and, you know, when he first signed, he was dog shit. He played on the left wing, I think.
He wasn't dog shit. We're all right.
He wasn't that great. And then
Uwe Rosler signed him, didn't he?
Yeah, and I just think that we've just seen him improve and become almost Mr. Leeds. You know, he would have played anywhere for us and do it well and do it at 110%, and that's all you can ask. But he had the ability as well. So, you know, we've talked about the goal at Stoke. The goal at Man City will live long in my memory when we snatched it in COVID. Just such a nice guy. I had the pleasure of meeting him with my two little girls as well. So that's another memory. I just felt he was. You knew what you were getting with Stuart Dallas when he was playing every game, and you were always going to get at least a 7 out of 10. I don't ever remember him having a poor game for us. It's sad state of affairs. I think
we're a better professional player, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was inevitable. I think we all saw it coming, but we just had that. We were all holding that little bit of hope that we might see him touch a bit of grass before at some stage this season. I think ideally the guys at Leeds would probably have liked to have kept it till later in the season. But I mean, I might be being sceptical here, but I think they've actually released it earlier to try and give the crowd and the lads a bit more of an additional boost over these last four games.
Mm. Gilly's in the comments and has said one of, if not the only player to come out with any home game against Derby with any credit. I would add Shackleton to that list because I think Shackleton played an absolute blinder as well. But yeah, I think that's my favourite Dallas memory, even though it's a bit of a shit one at the end of it because, you know, obviously we didn't do anything in the playoffs, but you know, that feeling. He had the uncanny ability to be able to grab the game by the scruff of the neck and take the whole team up a notch.
That's what he did in that Derby game.
Click did as well, and he had that kind of effect on the team, as did Pablo. There would have been a couple of players like that. I mean, Pablo is probably my most favourite player at Leeds ever, to be fair. I mean, I thought Pablo Hernandez was just an absolute magician. But like you say, you obviously relate to Dallas, and he is an absolute, you know, a credit to a professional. You know, he's been such a great guy. I think we all kind of got excited when we found out that he'd returned to first team training this season, and we were all like, "Fucking hell! Finally, we might actually see him play." And I think we're all kind of holding out to the fact that he might make an appearance this year. Yeah. And we're kind of hoping for, you know, if obviously the Southampton game were going to be a dead rubber, that he might make an appearance off bench or something.
Yeah, exactly. Know. That would have been. So
I'd have loved that to give him.
Put him in the goal for the last 2 minutes if it's a dead rubber.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think they're having him on the pitch, aren't they, at the next home game?
Half time at Blackburn. So don't go and get your piney peas and whatever else and your fancy chips. Those of you non-South standers, you know, get yourself to pitch side and give. Let's give Stewie D the reception and the send off.
He's earned it.
Absolutely. I looked at LUFC data, our good friends on the Twitterverse, and I've pulled a few of their stats out. I'll just bring up a little graphic of his little faith because he's such a lovely lad. Stuart Dallas, 266 games totally, 214 starts, 111 games won, 72 Premier League games, 28 goals, 18 assists, 9 seasons, which is mental, really. Yeah. 9 Premier League goals. 3 starts as a captain, 3 times Leeds Players Player of the Year, 1 times Leeds Player of the Year, 1 times Leeds Goal of the Season, 1 Championship title, and 1 Leeds United icon. There you go. Do you know how many managers he's played under?
I'm going to guess. Oh,
God. Oh, 17.
15. I'm going to go. Stuart Dallas's appearance by Leeds United manager. Right at the bottom is Jesse Marsh. He's played 8. Uwe Rosler, 12. Paul Heckingbottom, good old Paul. Whitball, we are ball. 13. Thomas Christiansen, 19. Gary Monk, 35. Steve Evans, 37. Anyone want to guess how many he played under Bielsa?
121.
Jay?
I'll say 130. I can't remember how many.
I tell you what, you're in the right ballpark, lads. 142 games for Bielsa. Ooh,
there you go.
So, there what an go. Absolute
So,
guy.
How many gaffers did he play for?
I think it was...
Is it 17, like Cooper, same amount?
That's not all. That's just appearances. He might have made one or two under... Did he play under Redfern at all? I don't think he did.
And Rosler.
Rosler, Darko... Who else? Have Gary Monk? Were Gary Monk in there? Gary Monk.
They've had Hockaday, weren't they?
Yeah, Gary Monk, 35 appearances under Gary Monk.
The Hockaday.
No, I don't know. Hockaday were after before Rosler, sorry. I don't know. I think that's it. I think that's all of them. Yeah, yeah. Rosler brought him in.
Did he?
And the Hock was before Rosler, yeah. 100%.
I don't remember Rosell bringing
Delatte. Ocadé was the first manager under Chilino, wasn't he?
Yeah,
Scoobs.
Scobala. There'll be a few that he's missed off.
He might not have played under Scoobs, though. He might have been injured by then.
Well, he was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was, because we're in Premier League. Anyway, he's going to be sorely missed, but apparently he's sticking around at the end of the club, and I've seen a tweet of someone saying that that Leeds have offered him some kind of coaching role. So whether it's something to do with the academy or something, it'd be great to keep him around the squad and around the club, especially around Thorpe Batch, because he's an absolute top guy. Same as Cooper, you know, and a couple of others. Yeah, he might not be up to scratch anymore, but, you know, them sort of players.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That you want to keep around your club. You know, he's a fantastic captain, is Cooper, and he's still very, very much, you know, needed and very well thought of at Thorpe Arch and around the squad. So, you know, them kind of players you want to keep around, don't you? Hopefully we can get Pablo over as well.
So he's actually been a Leeds player under 11 different gaffers, apparently, but he's not 11. Played for all.
That's fair enough.
So what did I say? Well, not far off.
I think so.
I think you said 15, didn't you?
Did I? Fuck, I said 11.
I said 17.
I might have done, I can't remember. No doubt somebody will watch it back and correct me. Yeah, ambassador, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I love a bit of ambassadors.
Yeah.
Is there anyone wearing Lucas the Cop Cat anymore? I haven't seen him for a while.
I haven't seen that. I think he went over the Rainbow Bridge, didn't he?
Oh, did he? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's actually a relation of mine. So my brother-in-law's uncle, he used to be Lucas the Cop Cat.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Was he Ellie the Elephant before that as well?
I didn't know. I don't think so. some old Royd, wasn't it? Fucking hell. But it was his uncle.
Okay.
I only found out when he died. I'm like, no ways if that would happen. But anyway, we digress. Do any of you have a shit take of the week, chaps?
I do.
Yes.
Well, let me just roll VT. Oh, shit, I lost it. I've just scrolled past it.
Hey, has got a shit take this week, my little spatter fact.
So mine is actually quite relative because of how we've just spoken about. Obviously, he's been injured for the last couple of years, despite still being in contract with the club and the club doing everything and him doing everything he can to full fitness.
Can you bring your mic a bit closer to your grill because you're going a bit. It's like you're speaking into a washing up bowl.
Yeah, what? It was a bit weird.
It's gonna be
is that better?
Yeah, it's better.
That's it.
Cool. So yeah, basically, this is to do with obviously this is apparently a Leeds fan and their comment on Stuart Dallas's retirement. On the bottom of there of a Leeds United forward, a legend for club and country, Stuart Dallas has announced his retirement from professional football at the end of the season, and Jack has put. Club legend, but surely he could have realised before stealing wages for 2 odd years.
Okay, now.
Shizzle my nizzle. Wow, what a fancy take that is.
Like he hasn't been busting a gut to get back.
Wow.
Like he didn't want to, like he hasn't been going into the training every day with all the lads and that, and suffering, you know, suffering mentally massively, because he can't massively. Play and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, that's my shit take of the week.
That's just an easy throwaway sort of take, though, isn't it? It's just some bellend that's got really angry and thought, oh, I've got a bit of an edgy sort of opinion. I'm just going to write some absolute tribe. Yeah.
Imagine thinking somebody sat in dressing room week in, week out, and like gutted that they can't do anything about what's happening on the pitch when it's not going well. Like, the guy loves the That's club, he really. Cares.
Have you all seen his video of him going into the meeting room for all the other players and announcing that he was retiring? You've seen that, obviously, you could see how choked up he was and how hard it was to get through it. I mean, obviously, right at the start, I mean, I think it cuts the start off because I think he kind of broke down, and you see then, obviously, it cuts to Cooper coming and putting an arm around him and saying, come on, mate, get it out or whatever. Yeah. But, yeah, you can see how choked up he was, and you could see how much of a mental struggle. He openly said how much of a struggle it's been, you know, not wanting to come here, not wanting to turn up, but obviously the lads that have been around and the good group around him have encouraged him and kept him going and stuff like that. You know, and then you've got fucking ass wipes like that tweeting absolute tripe. It's such a shame that there's that many bellends. I mean, don't get me wrong, I might tweet some absolute shite every now and again, like we all do, but that's just malicious fucking shite, is that?
Yeah. It's needless. It's just trying to be edgy for...
Somebody just wants a reaction, and they obviously don't get much attention, and yeah, they're just being...
Adam Forshaw was saying when he got, you know, stealing a living and all that sort of stuff, you know. I mean, don't get me wrong, you can't really compare Adam Forshaw to Stuart Dallas, but it's not, you don't want to see it really, do you?
No. No, anyway, you don't.
Anyway, next shit take, please.
I can put mine in if you want. I've got this guy here.
Oh.
Good old Ben. He said it pre-Rad selling up. Chelino left us in a better place than when he bought us. Well, it says brought because he can't talk properly. Rad's left us in a far worse position than when he brought the club. Chelino, a more competent club owner than Rad's. Well, Raz, he says, but I think he means Raz. I mean, it's just a litany of errors, isn't it? But it's just crackers. It's crazy talk.
Did you reply to him?
I haven't, but Gilly did, so I didn't need to. Gilly said, what a load of shit. that covered it, basically.
Absolutely. Blunt and straight to the point there, Matthew. Well done.
It's just, it baffles me, stuff like that, because it's like, we all know Rads wasn't perfect. He was a bit of a fucking knob. But to say the club was in a better place when Chelino left than it was when Rads left is insane. The only real big black mark for the Rads era is the Augustine stuff, you know. If it weren't for that, you wouldn't even be having this debate, I don't think.
I mean, there are plenty of little blemishes, you might say.
In his brief ownership of Chelino,
but then again, Chelino were a dickhead. Let's be right, fair, he were a dickhead, but he stabilised the club initially. He's big reason why we've still got a frigging club to support.
Oh yeah, he did.
You know, and credit where it's due.
He destabilised it.
Yeah, he rocks the boat, and he was a dickhead and needed to go, and he did. We got Raz in. We got Raz and his good friend Victor in, and you know, the rest is history there. But, you know, for a time, you know, going from that absolute dipstick Italian, not Cal, Chelino.
You mean a real Italian?
There is a poll in the YouTube, if you are watching for YouTube, you can vote in that. And your options are Dallas on the Dole or Celino. A modern day Messiah.
Celino. God, I haven't heard him being called that for a while. Chelino.
I'm as bad as Carl at pronouncing bloody foreign names.
Clearly.
Training ground were half shut. There were no kitchen. There were no pool. He drained the pool.
I know, but he had to...
People were bringing their own dinner. They had to wash their own kit.
I can't say up. Do you reckon they washed all the darks with the whites? Anyway.
Mate.
I've got a funny story about Massimo. I met him. I went to Derby away, I think, one season. I think we won. Chris Wood scored. I think we won 2 or 3-1. And I went to walk back to the train station, and I was sat with him all on the train all the way from Derby to Leeds. And he's actually quite a nice guy. Like, I mean, fucking nuts. Like,
absolutely batshit mental.
Mad as a bag of cats. Like,
did he keep opening his cigarette tin in front of his face a lot?
Cigarette tin.
Yeah.
When me and Luke interviewed Brian McDermott, like, he spilled the beans. I mean, he said a lot before we got onto the actual show, because there's a lot that obviously he couldn't say. Or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's some of the stuff that he told us, wasn't it, Luke? We were just like, I was like, please, we can delay this podcast. Please tell me more, tell me more. We were both like, fucking hell, really? No way. But some of the shit he used to get up to. But then when Rads and his cronies came in, you know, there was an air of professionalism there. Initially,
we got promoted. Bielsa and Raf, and
exactly. And then it all went to absolute fucking rat shit because they fucking brought the American in and signed a load of fucking dipsticks and we got absolute shit carried away, and bosh, straight down to the Championship we went. And I think sometimes when people are saying fucking fuck out and we're absolute bottle jobs and this, that and the other, we have to just step back a little bit and take into consideration what an absolute fucking mess this club were in at the start of this season, you know. And to say that we're knocking on the door of the Premier League again, we're right in the thick of the promotion race now, you know, it's a detriment to what, you know, the people that have come in and rescued our club, really, if want of a better term, because they have, you know, they've pulled us right out of the fucking shit of the 49ers Enterprises and the people that they've put on the board. And we're in a much better, healthier place than last time.
Put the money where the mouths are so far.
Exactly. So, you know, we've just got to, I think we're all overreacting a little bit. You know, with mm-hmm. it, and but the thing is, you know, it's cheap for us to say this sort of thing on a podcast and stuff. At the end of the day, the guys have got to go and do the business on the pitch, and that's that's where it matters. So hopefully they will do. Have we got any more shit takes?
There's a couple I've not put in there. There's obviously the reciprocal pricing idiots at Southampton raising their necks out of water again. But I mean, we've done that to death, so yeah. And then the other one is that people's interpretation of these finances that have been released this week.
Well, I was going to ask you, are you going to get Kieran on and do another pod again or something? Is it worth?
Well, I'll speak to him. I will ask him. But the problem is, I think he's taken off a bit since we last spoke to him, and Joe tried getting him on and he couldn't go on to Joe's. He didn't have time to go on Joe's. So I'll ask him
where the OGs. We find these people and build them up and release them into the wild fucking west of the Twitter sphere of the League United.
They mean nothing without us.
And then we stay here
and they go up here.
Well, obviously you're a bit further down, but yeah, I get where you're coming from, Jay.
Why don't you go fuck yourself?
I've tried. This is a League United podcast. We'll do the dark
with your
one.
Cheetah the tail.
Yeah. It's a bunny rabbit tail. Anyway, less of that. Less of that. That's for the sex room. What am I saying? Absolutely. Anyway, I don't even know where this is going. Let's rewind a little bit, shall we? Blackburn. Quickly to this one.
Moving on.
We'll just end that and fucking move on.
Do you want to do a Blackburn few comments before we go on to Blackburn?
Ah, of course. Yes, go on then. I'm glad you reminded me. Let's do it. Go on, I'll let you fly through them. I'll read them out.
But there's not actually that many. Paul Brennan said earlier on, at least we got a clean sheet, talking about the last game. We haven't pressed the nuclear button. Stick together when we're all together. And strong
nuclear button?
We fall. Mm. Yeah, the nuclear button.
What, Putin style?
Yeah. I think one thing is definitely worth noting is that we would probably be having a very different conversation on BNC part if Ipswich had won last night.
Yes, yeah,
definitely.
It'd be real doom and gloom. I think the saving grace is that we're still in touching distance of everybody around us. There's only a point. I mean, we're only one draw and them losing one away from going above them again because of goal difference. So we are still there and thereabouts.
Better goal difference than Leicester as well now.
Yeah, only just. But yeah, thanks for that, Paul. Oh, I missed one then. I've just deleted one about Droopy. I think it was something about trying Nonto in the 10 position. He plays there for Italy.
Droopy?
His name was Droopy. I think he's gone now. I've deleted his comment. Sorry, Droopy.
Like the character.
Yeah. But my thing, I think my argument to that is this really isn't the time to be trying new stuff. No. Not overly new.
Would you not give Ruta a game off though? Bit of a rest.
Have you finished starring your comments? There's six left to go through.
No, this is one of the comments, but I deleted it.
All right, sorry, go on, carry on.
So his comment was about playing Nonto. I just don't know if this is the time for an experiment. That's all for me.
Yeah, I get that.
My argument is that we scream, and Matteo Joseph's name was being sung from roughly the 60th minute when evidently we started to try and play football.
Yeah.
They made the first substitution for Nonto in the 71st minute for Kamara. But, you know, I mean, what can you say?
Not right.
Please, fucking inspire me, Luke. Please, try.
What would you like me to talk about?
I don't know.
inspire you about
Droopy? About Droopy.
I am very, very happy.
Fuck. That was so fucking accurate. I forgot where my point was going, to be fair. I forgot where my point was to be going. But we'll just skip. We'll skip past that.
Yeah, next one. Carl McMichael, starting 11 is debatable. He says, "What isn't his Farker's unwillingness to change things in a game? 82 minutes before tactical changes is too late and a bit of a Farke trait. We look flat."
Oh, sorry. Yeah, fucking hell. We were talking about the fucking experimentation of the starting 11, weren't we?
Yeah, of course we were. Yeah.
Fucking hell.
That's right.
We're back in the room. 3-2-1. So yeah, I mean, a lot of people were singing Matteo Joseph's name, but at the end of the day, Matteo Joseph's going to make an impact. Could you see Bamford doing the same or having that same sort of impact?
No, that's part of the reason I would still. I mean, I don't want to go on this Bamford fucking Joseph thing forever, but everyone seems to be doing it. But the reason you don't do it that way around is because Bamford softens them up. Bamford, and I know Matteo Joseph might be able to do it, but again, it's an experiment, and you don't get that impact from Bamford. So you almost potentially, if Joseph doesn't do it, you lose two strikes.
Then you're fucked.
Because bringing Bamford on at that stage is not going to make a difference.
Absolutely.
I'm ready to try Joseph.
And I think I think we just need to get Joseph on sooner. And the hopefully that the sooner and the quicker that Farke, not that he will do, you know, we're 42 games in now, but the sooner that he realises this, hopefully, you know, by people shouting and chanting his name at the 60th minute, then the better, because he could have really impacted. Nonto impacted the game when he came on. And then they brought Roberts, Joseph and Pirou on. Even Pirou had a decent part to play. He did all right when he came on.
Yeah, he did. You know what, though? I'd be tempted to put Joseph in from the start now. I wasn't thinking that before.
But why, though? Why?
The reason why is because for all the stuff that people say about Bamford, all the good work that he does, dragging players out of position, which is all true, and he does do it, but it's not leading to goals for anybody at the moment, is it? There's nothing
is
coming
that, is
from
that
it.
His fault, or is that the creativity?
Oh, it's a combination, mate. It's, you know, everyone's to blame for that. It's not.
Did you think he had one clear chance at the weekend? And I mean, we can go back to the game before anyway. And he spooned that fucking effort, but I mean, did he have one clear chance against someone?
I'm not sure he did, but what I'm saying is the movement and stuff that he does is not creating chances for other people either, because no one's scoring goals as a result of him. We've dried up a little bit in the last few games.
The thing is, though, Jay,
I'd just like to see something different with a goal scorer in there if the other thing's not working.
I totally get where you're coming from, and to a degree, I do agree. You know, I can see why people are pining for change. Even though most of us think, no, it's pointless changing now. We've got four games to go.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, the ball hardly got to Bamford at the weekend, and it didn't, you know, against Coventry and stuff like that.
I can see that at the end of the day,
Joseph might have been up there at the top, but he'd have had no fucking ball, just like Bamford didn't get any ball. Yeah, no, Somerville lost the fucking ball 20-odd times. Dan James didn't see any of the frigging ball. Mm. At the end of the day, Matteo Joseph's not going to get the fucking ball. So if he's ineffective, if you're going to take him off at 60th minute because he's been ineffective, and hopefully Bamford's going to come on, he's not going to do fuck all because he's not an impact player.
No, I know. I can see that argument. I genuinely can see both sides of it.
I think Joseph is relishing those minutes to come on and make an impact. Somebody mentioned there about him doing it at Chelsea. Completely different. There was no pressure. Nobody expected him to win. Look, he scored two great goals. Fantastic. But he's not. It's not the time or the place to introduce him into a gritty, dirty championship game where you're going for promotion. Paddy Bamford's been there and done it all. He's been promoted with us in gritty championship performances.
Yeah, yeah.
Whilst you might not be getting goals out of him, what you know you're getting is him putting himself about and drawing fouls and look, we've not been getting the goals, Jane. And you don't have to be a professor to notice that, but we probably wouldn't have been getting free kicks in dangerous areas. He was the only one,
maybe,
in that first half who was getting in any sort of good positions. And the book's got to stop with the creativity. If he's not getting supplied with the ball, how's he meant to score? I mean, he had that one shot which wasn't an opportunity.
That's fair.
And then the other one where he blasted it across goal, which could have been a shot or a cross. If it was a cross, it'd have took Dan James' head off if he read it anyway. But again, let's not get into it too much. Let's go back to Carl's. We've covered that pretty much. 82 minutes. Get the change. Make the changes earlier in games like that. Absolutely, I think you can spot on. Southie says, we have lost a little bit of spark since the international break. Welsh guys haven't been right after that loss. Do you agree? Do you agree they've not been the same?
I think that may be a factor. It's not all of them, is it? No one's really sort of shone. Roots has probably had the worst run of games I've seen from him this season in the last sort of three games.
Somerville's not been great either.
No, he hasn't.
Because he's got massive credit.
He's stopped taking people on as well.
Well, he has, but he's just getting tackled. You know, and I think he draws a lot of fouls in, but referee, he got fouled quite a few legitimate fouls last night, and the referee
they don't get given though, do they?
Last night, why do we keep saying last night like it's a Berardino Cup? Sorry, on Tuesday, but I just think, you know, even he's been off the boil a little bit. The only one that seems to be looking like, apart from obviously Joseph when he's been introduced, is Nonto. Nonto seems to be trying to really hard, and he's actually impacting the games positively.
I've said this, yeah, like when he came on in the previous game, he looked like he would have torn them up if he'd had a good sort of 20-30 minutes at it. He instantly was direct and getting involved and trying to attack and take shots and put crosses in against Coventry. So I wanted to see him start against Sunderland personally.
When Nonto got introduced in the 71st minute, we started playing well because obviously he took up a middle position from Kamara. And the thing is, Nonto will take on players. Kamara, don't he? Does his little shimmy this to me, shimmy that, and then fucking passes it backwards or to the side. Which is good at when we're taking the piss and we're beating and we're on top of the game. We were in control of the game, but we were doing absolutely fuck all with that ball.
No,
Nonto's completely different because he explodes into life. And he might do a couple of twists and turns, but he's got that instant outlay to either to Dan James or to whoever else that's around him. And he's moving. Kamara does not move forward like frigging Nonto does. So you can see why he might impact a game like that.
He gets to the box and he either puts a cross in or he cuts in and goes for a shot. And you get that from him plenty during the game. You know, that's what we're lacking at the minute. It's just someone grabbing hold of it by scruff at neck and having a go. The amount of times people in the Sunderland game were shouting, shoot, 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 shoot. And it just, you know, it never came. We only had a few actual shots from sort of outside the box, maybe two or three.
It blows my tiny little mind that we don't have more shots from outside box. It's crazy.
Crackers.
Especially when there's a fucking, an absolute sea of red and white in front of you. You just think, just have a crack. It could take a deflection. You know, Ipswich do it. Ipswich shoot from outside box and get loads of deflected frigging goals. Why the fucking hell aren't we doing it?
They have to be being told not to. Because we've seen Bamford can it a ball.
I think that could be the case.
Bamford can it a shot. You know what I mean? Like, there's no reason in my mind why he wouldn't, like, especially if he's struggling to get on the ball in the area, there's no other reason to me why he wouldn't be, like, turning and having shots if, you know, if he'd not been told not to do that.
Yeah, fair point. Fair point. So going back to the original comment, yeah, I think they have a loon a little bit off the boil.
Yeah.
Southeast also says this season feels like two seasons. It has been a long one, hasn't it? It's felt like ages. And then
it does.
The last comment that we've got starred is it's the penultimate one is from Nige saying, guys, what about the JKA shambles? Now, we knew about that anyway, so
I think we'll talk about Rads and the whole shit show. And
are we shocked that we've dropped the appeal or
because these guys have got fucking sense. They know they're not going to win. It's just going to cost them more money. What's the point?
It's just going to drag us through media and it's shit that we don't want hanging over us. So
end of day we're banged to rights on it. We screwed him.
Yeah.
You know, he went up to the task. He wasn't the player we thought we were getting, but at the end of the day, there were a contract and we fucked him and that's cost us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then the last comment.
Mark Edison's got his capital lock stuck on again. I can see in the comments.
he's making a point here, Smarty.
Yeah. Port, last one, which is quite a nice one, I think, and I think it's worth saying, is from Paul Brennan. Stuart Ellis is a legend. That talk he gave to the lads about Leeds United, playing for Leeds and us, the fans, first class. I wish he was fit, healthy and playing. What a Leeds legend. Legend.
Absolutely. I wish I'd remembered to look for my Stuart Ellis T-shirt that they gave us when we went to Arsenal after he got injured.
I remember.
And I never thought
so we were sat here. About here. Just you wait, son. I'm on with Danny and a few others on the Not Another Leeds podcast tomorrow evening, so I will be at my best self as ever. There'll be many, many things
of
discussed tomorrow.
I'll be in the comments, give you some stick.
Dallas is a proper ledge, you're right, Gilly.
Proper ledge. Let's move on to Blackburn then. Blackburn's last few games They lost. They lost 5-0 to Bristol City yesterday. Drew 0-0 against Southampton. Sunderland, they beat fucking Sunderland 5-1.
5-1, yeah.
Sweet baby Jesus. Lost to Ipswich 1-0 and drew away to Middlesbrough. So they're not on great form. Now then, Jay, I'll come to you first. What would our starting lineup be if you were picking the team? You don't have to go through every single position, but basically, what sort of changes would you make, if any, to our starting lineup for this game?
If I was going to make a change, I would probably put Roberts in at right back. Swap Archie for Kamara, take him out. And I would possibly put Nonto in for Ruta or for James. I'm not sure which. I'd leave Bamford up front, despite what I said about Joseph.
I think contradicting everything you've just said.
Because I were talking about that in a standalone sense, but if you're already making two changes, I wouldn't want to make another one. I don't think that'd help.
Pirro not make it in for you?
Nah, he can go home. He don't make it in. He'd be on the bench for me, but he won't make it in. I'd want Nonto in the starting lineup, and I would want Roberts in there.
Okay.
Like I miss it. Connor Roberts.
I am actually going to agree with Jay for once. I think Connor Roberts offers
us... Gilly, get this clipped.
I think Connor Roberts offers us far more in an attacking sense than Archie does at right back.
Looks for an out ball.
And Archie offers us far more in attacking sense than Kamara offers. And this is a game we need to go and fucking thump them, really, and set a platform and a precedent for the rest of the season. Put the shit up Leicester and Ipswich. Go win the game 4-5 by 4-5.
If Roberts does play, Dan James will get the balls to get away down the wing from him.
Well, because they are Welsh brothers, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
The line kind of
weird. We're talking about bringing Nonto in, though, for James, aren't we?
Well, I said I might bring him in for Ruta, because Ruta could do the break. It could be Ruta or James. I'm just thinking what's likely to happen. If Roberts did come in, you'd probably still have Dan James on the wing if Farker's doing it. And he does get those direct balls out to him. He's good at that. I like that he looks to start attacks.
I've just seen someone's been removed from the virtual room.
I think that's what I'd do. I'd still be playing Paddy, Cree. I'd still even start Rutter because I think on his day he's the best player in the league. Leave Gruev in there and the back four of Roberts, Ampadu, Rodon and Junior Firpo.
Yeah, I agree. I think so. I mean, given that he's obviously just coming back from an injury, if you want to call it an injury, even though it's just a minor operation that he had, Mr. Rutter, you know, that he might play shite for 88 minutes, but there'll be 2 minutes of pure magic from him, and that can unlock a defence, you know. And to say that we've been playing some very, very difficult opposition as well over the last couple of games, they have Sunderland completely bossed the middle of the park. You know, we're really up against it with Rutter on Tuesday. So, yeah, I'd like to give him the benefit of the doubt, play a little bit more expansively, a little bit more open, and obviously, hopefully push on. If he's not looking he's going to do anything, then fucking eye him off.
It's contradictory to
what, obviously, Fark always does, because he'll probably leave it to, fucking Rutter's been a bit shit. I'll wait until the 89th minute to bring him off, and then he will do. But, you know.
It's a bit unfortunate for him, Smarty. Like, we've been saying, he's been poor last few games, which he has, but... A lot of the times when he's lost the ball, should have been free kicks that haven't been. So if we had half-decent refs, we might not be looking at him as having been so bad because he would have won free kicks. But, yeah, it's not happening. So change him out for me. Give him a day off. Bring him on back end of game.
Okay. Interesting then. Interesting. So we might make a couple of changes. I would expect that we probably don't. I mean, Kamara...
I think you're probably right.
I think if we were going to see any change, it might be Kamara. If my money were to be on it, and we'd see Robertson at right back and Gray up into midfield, but on the whole of it, based on what we've seen throughout the course of the season, he'll still pick his favourite boys, won't he? So, shall we get a couple of predictions?
Yeah, who's top out of us? Lot me.
I think so.
I think it's Bren.
No,
out of us three.
Gilly's in the chat, though. I'm going to wait for Gilly. Gilly, can you put yours in? And
fastest finger first for the fans, please. Whoever gets their prediction in first, you will win. Your prediction will go on the board. Jay, we might as well start with you because me and you are a little bit further down the league. So go on, mate. Give us a cheeky prediction. Southie, lock it in. 3-1 leads. Bash. There you go.
3-0.
Writing these down.
Shall I write these down? Shall I?
3-0 leads.
Fucking hell. Go on. I think you need to moisturise. Those hands sound very, very dry, James.
I've been mechanicking, mate. They're covered in dirt.
Southie's gone 3-1. Jay has gone 3-0. Have we got? Oh, Christ, there's lots of people in there. Has Gilly given anything yet? Or has he miraculously disappeared from the comments all of a sudden?
He'll pop up, won't he, after the press conference and then give us his prediction.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 4-0.
Fucking 4-0. 2 leads, I hope.
How's your poll doing, by the way, Luke?
Shall we come to that at the end, or do you want me to do it now?
We'll do it at the end.
Let's get a few predictions out of the way. Obviously, Willem Dafoe, our good friend.
Here he is.
Gilly's gone 4-1 leads.
We're not conceding.
Is it a chicken or something? I hear some sort of clucking. Are you wiggling your leg, Luke?
Yeah, my chair.
It sounds like a little. It's actually just going like. I can hear him back. I'm thinking, it sounds like a fucking chicken clucking. I thought he had one of his chickens in bed with him or something. I'm going to go.
10.
Who's gone? South has gone 3-1. Do you know what? I'm going to match Jay. Yeah, I'm going to go 3-0. I'm going to go 3-0.
Why do you always copy somebody, you?
Because they're all low. I'm not going 1-0 because I don't think it'll be 2-0. I think the lads are going to pull it out of bag for us and we're going to give someone a good hiding. And if it ain't Blackburn, then it's not going to be anyone, is it? So, or maybe true QPR. That. But, you know, we don't like London, do we?
No, we don't. So,
yeah, I think we'll lock them in.
Luke's got gout. That's what Southie says.
Right.
That's his prediction.
Does it give you a squeaky foot, does it?
That's a funny STD.
Oh, gosh. Right then. So we've
got. Hey, Jay, you might have got some work here.
Predictions.
Can you work on his merch?
Oh, God.
Can you merch?
I probably could, but I don't want to.
Is it a sprinter?
I like sprinters. They're all right.
It looks like the sort of person, does Mark. I've met Mark a few times. He's a nice bloke, but he looks like the kind of person that would sell vegetables. Or exotic fruits from a van, actually. I wonder
a side
if it
is, road.
Yeah, I wonder if it is a Mercedes Sprinter. That'd be funny.
You get a couple of those around Bradford, and you just think, who wants to buy a load of fruit and veg that's been sat next to a main road all day getting
nailed on a CLK convertible? I could have guessed that. That was going to be my guess.
I bet he's got them sort of like sunglasses that are always like just fixed to the sun visor on the passenger side as well, just in case he's flicking out. There you go. Fucking convertible. You've got to be a special kind of bloke to have a convertible. I think Gilly's got a convertible as well.
Yeah.
That's hot.
I don't really want to offend anybody here, but there's a type of person who does drive a convertible, isn't there?
They only suit certain type of people. Small people.
Wouldn't even say they suit people.
Well, right. Okay. Take me, for example, with my humongous bonce. I look a right dick. I look like one of them fucking Sabutio fucking players. You know,
Gilly hasn't got a convertible.
He does.
Say to your hairdresser.
He does have a chuffing. He does have a convertible, the lying bastard. He's a frigging liar.
Are you a hairdresser, Gilly? Are you a hairdresser?
Are you taking the frigging piss? I'll go. He lives literally just that way. I will go and take a fucking picture. I'll do a live.
Again,
hey, look at
live,
Gilly's
again.
Car. Fucking nail technician, the fucking prick.
That's where it was going with the convertible.
But yeah, someone with my size and my size of head. I once bought one of my dad's Audis because my car had shit itself and it were a convertible and it was a sunny day last year and I thought, do you know what? I think I'm going to drop the roof. I went about 100 yards and thought, nope. And I put it straight back up because I fucking saw a reflection of myself and looked a complete and utter twat. So people like me, absolutely not.
And
maybe
pebbles,
little small
driving,
bald people like yourself might look all right in them.
When you're driving, the pebbles smack you on fucking forehead, don't they? Like, you know what I mean? There's no protection for people.
Getting flies in my teeth and stuff. But Jay, so, Jay, you're all right, aren't you? It's like a little dodgem for you, isn't it, Jay? You've got a little Mazda, haven't you? Or you've had them?
No, I had one. I had one before. I've got an MR2. I know, but it's in bits, so it don't count at the moment.
So, well, yeah, it's a bit fucked then, you'd say.
It's getting there.
I'm going to roll on to next.
Auto No Bitter! With Rachel Adedeji!
Do either of you, by any chance, have a bitter for this week?
No, mate.
Can you get a few chests, lads?
All I would rant about would be shit referees, and we've already talked about it.
Yeah, I think we've been bitter enough, haven't we?
I think we've well covered it, haven't we? We should have just played that at the start before
we've been angry enough.
Yeah, I think so.
It could have been just one auto no bitter, like, instead of better.
Auto no bitter! Then we'll just start talking about fucking Leeds in general, I think. Right then, so we don't really have much more to cover. We will say a few things about Andy's Man Club. Andy's Man Club, for the events left in April, is the pool night at the... Oh, Christ, hold on 2 seconds. That's really small. I can barely read that. I'm getting older. Pool night at the Northern Snooker Centre, starting at 6:30 p.m. We'll be on the tables upstairs. Do not ask for small donations, but the tables... to the tables, but this is not essential. If you fancy waving a few sticks around and throwing a couple of blocks of chalk at your mates, crack on and get yourself down there. The great bunch of lads at Orton or better. We're obviously quite nice guys. The Andy's Man Club guys are absolutely sound, and obviously there were a few of us that went up for a walk. We obviously talked to you about it last week, but yeah, they're a great bunch of lads. Very warm, very welcoming. You will not be disappointed if you go to one of these events. Sunday the 28th, Barber Club at W2 Barbers on Easterly Road. Go down, get your nonce. Oh, Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Get your bonce trimmed.
Bring your Rolf Harris down with you.
Get your bonces trimmed. You can take your nonces with you if you like. You can do whatever you want with them. Yeah, all proceeds go to Andy's Man Club. Yeah, so if you need a trim, get yourself down there. Jay, do you want to go down there and get yourself a little trim? Cheeky little trim?
I don't need one yet, mate. I've not decided what I'm doing.
You're looking very unkept. At least you're keeping the beard down, though. We've not gone all Gandalf again.
I like it like this, you know.
Yeah.
I like it like this. Might go for a man bun next.
I'm not sure about the mascara and the eyeshadow tonight, like, but...
Yeah.
That's just bags, mate. There is no mascara or eyeshadow.
Saving that for his hot tub parties at the weekend.
I had to get up at, like, 7 a.m. this morning for this new job. And because I've been working from home for last year... I've been like rolling out of bed at sort of 9:30 and just logging straight on the computer. So it's been a shock to the system getting up at a normal time again.
Cool stories, yes. Yeah, and on another
note. You know
note,
he's going to do your back.
I'm just kidding.
He's going to get you. He's going to get you.
I'm just not going to talk.
I've just realised Stuart Dallas retiring. We're going to lose our Mr. Utensil, aren't we?
Yeah.
Also, we forgot to mention that it's Pablo Hernandez's 39th birthday today, so happy birthday to him.
Lovely.
He watches our podcast, of course, because we're just a bunch of dickheads on YouTube. But happy birthday, Pablo. Yeah. Have we got anything else to say, chaps? Anything else on your mind? Anyone else?
No.
Any tributes? Any shout-outs you want to give to anyone? Because we're
I am doing a challenge at the moment. I didn't obviously do the walk with you guys from his man club, so I'm doing a separate challenge raising money for cancer research. I'm doing 100 press-ups a day. I had a very heavy weekend, and I am a couple of hundred behind now, so I have got a bit of work to do. It's the 11th. I should have done 1,100. I've done just short of 900, so I've actually got 230 left to do.
That's not something you want to get behind on, mate.
No, I know. I'm having a relatively quiet weekend, so I've been sort of hitting him the last couple of days, and I'm just going to try and go over the next...
Do 20 easy, every couple of hours or something, isn't it? Easy.
Yeah, I'll make them back up, don't worry. If you do want to sponsor, it's on my Twitter and that, but you don't feel the need to.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, mate. We'll tweet it out again, and
we'll get it retweeted.
We'll retweet it for you. Yeah, get it out there. So if you've got a couple of quid to spare, please, for obviously the sake of cancer research and stuff, go give Luke a couple.
That
of
goes for you as well, spare.
I might do.
Would you like the result of the shit take?
I was just going to say, have you got your poll results?
I've got the poll results. If you were a betting man, which would you have bet? Which would you have gone for, Smarty?
Give me the options again. Sorry,
we've got Dallas on the Dole or Cellino, the modern day messiah.
I think I'm going to go for Cellino.
That lost quite comfortably. Dallas on the Dole got 69%, whereas 69%. And Cellino, modern day messiah, got 31%. And I'm going to end it right there.
Excellent stuff.
Fair enough.
Right, thank you everyone else for joining us on this fine, fine evening. Hopefully it'll be a great result for us at the weekend. If you haven't done already, please subscribe to our podcast. I know there'll be quite a few people that are watching on YouTube, but if you can, head over there, hit the subscribe button. It helps us out because it makes us look really cool amongst our friends. Apart from that then, thank you very much, both of you, for joining us. Thank you everyone else in the comments for joining us. Join us. Like, joining us.
Both of, oh, I thought you said both of you vaginas.
Both of you vaginas. Well, yeah, I mean, whatever. You know, I'll call you worse outside of here. Thanks, guys. Thank you, guys, that are watching. And we'll see you for Berardi and Coke at the weekend. Take it easy. Oh, shit. Roll
press the button.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thank you for listening to another Otto Know Better podcast, the Independent League United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address @OughtToKnowBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke Aftermatch podcasts. We've 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.